Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work.
So happy to have Amber Plaster on The Work. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I've actually listened to The Work as well, so it's exciting to be on The Work.
And here we go into season 8. Thank you for being a big part of that. You mentioned having listened to the podcast. That's not how we initially connect. I know how I first became aware of you.
Okay.
Which was through your actor MBA in 2010. Mm-hmm. Is that when Self-Management for Actors first popped on your radar, or...
That's when I first became involved with Self-Management for Actors, but I actually first discovered you, Bonnie Gillespie, by your blog. You had and still have these extensive, really long, super detailed blogs on like what to do in acting. And honestly, like there's a lot of resources on the internet now, like Backstage and Miz in the Biz and stuff, which is so great. But back then there was nothing that I could find. And I found your blog and I was just like, oh, this is a treasure trove of information. I can't believe this is amazing. So I started like reading all of those articles or blog posts, I guess you would call them. But that's how I got started. And then I don't know, I guess I must have signed up for your mailing list because somehow I found out about your actor MBA because I had no actor friends at the time. So no one told me about it. So you were just like an oasis in the desert, literally, because I was in Las Vegas at the time.
That's amazing. Wait, okay. So you're in Los Angeles now. You started out in Vegas. Take us through your story a little bit, and you can, you know, predate your Self-Management for Actors intersection. What was your creative spark? What got you fired up to pursue a career in this crazy business?
Well, I knew in school that I wanted to pursue something in the arts. But at that time, I couldn't picture actually being on TV because that just seemed too great. You know, it sounds stupid to say out loud, but I was like, that's really what I want to do, but I can't do that. So I'll be a photographer, or I'll be a makeup artist, or I'll do something like that. Maybe I'll coordinate shoots, or maybe I'll end up making jewelry. I just knew I wanted to do something creative. And so I was in Georgia at the time, and luckily I had a great theater program in my high school, McEachern High School. Shout out. and at the time in Atlanta, there wasn't a huge film scene. So if there was, I would have, you know, definitely done some background work, tried to, you know, learn to take an acting class or something outside of my school, but I didn't know how to get a hold of those resources, and no one in my family is creatively bent at all. So it's not like they weren't helping me, but they also were just like, are you sure? And also they didn't know where to point me. So it was just a very confusing and frustrating time. So I moved out to LA, or what I thought was LA, which is Simi Valley, California.
Okay.
Because that's where my family is. For those of you not in Los Angeles, Simi Valley is about an hour and a half outside of Los Angeles, pretty far away, deep into the suburbs where there's no entertainment industry at all. I actually got into modeling because I wanted to do something. I wanted to take pictures, be creative, you know, make weird shoots like a fairy or like a 1950s pinup girl or something. And I was like, oh, this is cool. But I actually didn't really enjoy modeling once I signed with an agency and started working, pretty regularly. I was pretty miserable because I'm naturally thin, but naturally not even close to being thin enough. And I just didn't want to just constantly be watching my weight. And that was a really rough time because I also didn't have any friends and I wasn't eating. So it was just like really draining, and I didn't have anybody to bounce anything off of to know if I was doing anything right or not. So I made friends with the photographers, and one of the photographers one day was like, hey, do you want to audition for the short film I'm in? I also direct. And I was like, oh, I can do that. like, I just like had to wait for someone to give me permission to express interest in it. Isn't that weird? I mean, I know I was young, but yeah. So after that, I was like, I don't want to model at all. So I like called up my agency and I quit, and I haven't worked as a model since, because it made me very unhappy. And I started auditioning for little like student films and super, super indie Craigslist indie films. And I was having a blast making friends. And that's how I just started to build up the people in my life. And then I actually moved out to Vegas. I had lost my day job just as I was starting to get an acting thing going, lost my day job. My fiance at the time, now husband, also lost his day job. And so we were like, let's move somewhere cheaper for a minute. And so we moved to Vegas, paid off all of our debt. We worked like three jobs each. We both got new cars. We like paid off everything. And then we moved back out to LA. And fortunately, while I was in Vegas, I found you. So I had an actual game plan for when I moved back to LA the second time. And I feel like that's when I really started my career with my head on straight.
You and I have that in common, that we both did a boomerang of the first LA move. And they were like, nope, that didn't take. And then a better, more strategic approach for the second time. And then you go, oh, no, now I'm a lifer. This is not an optional thing. This isn't the place I moved to try this out. This is now home.
Yeah, I always knew that this is where I wanted to be. Yeah. I just had no idea how to make it work. And the debt was just eating away at me. And I was like, okay, let's just pause. Everyone pause. I can figure this out. And then it was really helpful to find a freaking handbook for how to do it. So thank you.
Thank you, Amber. This is great. I want to touch on a couple things that you said. The coming from a family that doesn't have a lot of creative impulse, I'm sure there are a lot of people who have grown up being the black sheep, the oddball, the one that wants to try something creative, but also the getting permission to act, feeling like you had to have someone invite you or tell you it's okay. Can you speak about that a little bit and ways that possibly folks maybe listening to this could come up with giving themselves permission, or what you would say to your younger self when it comes to this?
That's a really great question. I feel that a lot of artists have a lot of self-doubt. And there's a really great quote that I'll share on Twitter after this. By Ira Glass, that talks about, I think, practice. And it's this someone made a beautiful Vimeo visual to go along with it. It will inspire the hell out of you. And it talks about, you don't think that you know what you're doing, and that's good. Just do it anyway. And it's going to suck. And then you're going to do it a little bit better next time. And then that's going to suck a little bit less. And you're going to do it better the next time. And with practice, or to quote Malcolm Gladwell, the 10,000 hours that you put into towards an expert in your craft, sooner or later, you're going to have a skill, or even be amazing at it, or even be talented, which is really just hard work and interest in what you're doing. I just never had anyone there before me, no one in my family to talk to about. Everyone in my family is a teacher or a nurse. So everything is very, you do this and you get this result. You do this and you get this result. And so it was very hard to move into a very different industry that's very fluid, even down to the way that we format our resumes as directors, filmmakers, actors. It's not by date. It's by what you find most relevant to put on your resume. It's by billing. It's by who you worked with that you think is the most exciting. Like, even that, like how you format your resume, is such a completely different mind shift from what I've seen growing up with, okay, well, you have to do this first, and you have to list everything that you've been doing while you were on unemployment or whatever, that time in between jobs, you have to list it all. Whereas here you don't. It's expected that there's ups and downs. That's a huge mindset change. And I think the best thing that you can do now is to reach out to somebody that is maybe just a tier above you. And even if they're not in the same state as you, you can at least follow them on Twitter, especially if they have a blog. There's a lot of actresses and actors out there that are very open about their process and their auditions and their acting class and what they do. I actually follow a few just random people that I found on Blogger, and I'll even like in my research look for people who are now guest stars and like go back 3 years and see what they were, what acting class they were blogging about taking. And I'm like, oh, look, that's what works. That's cool. So even if you don't have a friend in Iowa who's into acting, you can research someone on the internet. Maybe check out MizInTheBiz.com. They have a lot of actor bloggers on there. And even if they don't blog regularly, I bet they tweet a lot about their process or Snapchat a lot. You can probably follow along with that.
So here's a question for you, because you introduced into this the whole ton of information that's available online today versus when you started out, certainly versus when I started out a gajillion years ago. The amount of information, though, how do you not find a sense of overwhelm by how much is out there? How do you sift through what you're able to find out about other people's journey and discern what needs to be relevant for yours?
I try to find people that are as close to me as possible, just because it's a way to just tell. So if somebody is just like this gorgeously ripped Asian dude, he's probably not going to go in for the same roles as me, and he's probably not going to have the same struggles as me. So I probably would look for somebody who's a little bit older than me, someone who's in their early 30s maybe, and is a Caucasian woman who's pale and maybe a little bit weird, and maybe wants to do comedy, because that's what I'm interested in. Like, as specific as you can get. That's how I sort, right? Is I'm like, well, I can't really watch his career because he's a dude. He's going to get more role opportunities. Or
of course.
Well, I can't watch her career because she's in Atlanta and I'm not. So that doesn't really make sense. So I kind of start with what's closest to what I would want to emulate in the next year or two. And that's where I kind of start. And if you just start following a bunch of actors, even in the SNFA group, on Facebook, you can click around and start finding people's Twitter handles and see, okay, who do I want to be in a few years? Okay.
So that's the SMFA, Self-Management for Actors, SMFA Ninjas group on Facebook for those who'd like to come and join us over there. Very definitely fun Facebook group. A lot of activity going on, a lot of proactivity and sharing. It's funny that you talk about the whole being the weird, the quirky, do I need to look at someone who is in another market or this ripped dude and he's going to get different opportunities than I do? So many people come at this from a space of, I need to look at Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. What did they do? Meryl Streep, what'd she do? Johnny Depp, what did he do? Because clearly that's what I need to do. And I think that your approach is what we would say is truly ninja, in that you're taking a look at people who are a tier above, maybe a couple tiers above, whose careers are within reach in a reasonable time frame, and then mapping out what were they doing maybe just 2-3 years ago. Are you using resources that might be of interest to folks listening, like the Internet Archive? I know you mentioned going back and reading their old tweets. What do you do to actually be able to go back into their history? Because like, there's no history on IMDb of which agent they were with before they got plucked by CAA. How are you mapping out their paths a little bit?
I've gotten really creative at following people, and I don't want to assume that everyone is into research and technology as I am.
Okay.
So I understand that that's a limitation for some people. But you know, fortunately there are a lot of great resources, in the book that you do list, as far as like I think it's called the Wayback Machine, which mm-hmm. allows you to see, old actors' fan pages. And sometimes you can kind of click around and see who their old agents are. For me, I usually just pick a person or two, and then I'll set up a Google alert, and I'll be like, okay, let's take Anna Kendrick, for example. Say, you know, she's recent-ish. She's blown up in the past 10 years, not past 30. Yep. She's a little way far off my mark, but let's just say her. So if I have an interest in her and say somebody in my acting class who just booked her first guest star, I feel like that's two good slices of actors to start lurking on. Like, you can't just go up to someone and be like, be my mentor, because they're busy. So do what you can. Maybe you can talk to the girl in acting class and be like, and don't ask her who she's with. You can IMDb it. You can go on IMDb Pro and look up her name and see. Maybe you ask her over coffee, how long have you been with your agent? Did your manager get you this guest star, or was it your agent? That's something to note. Whereas Anna Kendrick, you know to look at her movies. You now know to go on Netflix and watch all the crappy indies that she did. Look at her billing, Anna Kendrick's billing in her early work, and see if her agents kind of, like I noticed Kate Mara has single card billing on House of Cards, and she's not even on the show. And you're like, oh, wow, I want her rep. Dang. Okay. What is that about? And so it's like, I'm not really studying Kate Mara, but she's somebody who I kind of want to emulate one day. And I try to keep an eye out when Kate Mara, or for example, Anna Kendrick, although she's not one that I follow, I'll keep an eye out for stuff that they do publicly. I'll read the trades. So I'll look on, I'll even just Google their name, and lots of old articles will come up. And usually, even in like the Hollywood Reporter, if you go back far enough, like say 2011, 2010, they will usually credit their old manager and their old agent. So you can find it. You can find it, but also pay attention to the casting offices and where they were. I know it's also a little hard to find. You don't want to go back too far because the information may not be valid. That's why it's important to keep a show Bible for this year, and then the next year, and the next year. So for example, I was doing research on an agency that was a really great co-star level agency with all of these actors that I knew booked a role that I was submitted for. And it's because I looked at my talent report, and this next year, all of those actors had, every single one of those actresses that had booked the roles that I thought that I was really right for, had left that agency. I would not be able to find that anywhere.
That's amazing information. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff like gives you such an anchor for your starting point for the next year.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, dang, maybe they used to be good, but now clearly everyone's leaving them. That sounds like a little bit of a red flag. So now I'm not really going to be targeting that agency, or maybe I'll take the meeting and just know and ask them, hey, I noticed a lot of your roster actually kind of moved on. Among other things that I've read about your company, do you mind going into that? And then just seeing the temperature of the room when they talk about that.
So let's talk about this, Amber, because this is where you're completely different than 99.9% of actors that I speak with, in that they are so hungry for representation that just getting a meeting, they would just be like, okay, yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you. Okay, yay, yay. And the fact that you would go, hey, I noticed some of your people left. What's up? Talk about that a little bit. And are you ever nervous about having that approach of knowing your worth when it comes to a part of the industry where so many people are desperate to be represented by folks that could maybe get them access to the next role?
I'm always nervous going into a meeting because it's, you want to be liked, you know, you want them to be like, yeah, I want this actor. Like, yeah, I want to sign Amber Plaster. Like, that's what I'm always hoping for, is a hell yes. When I walk in the door, like, you're meeting with me for a reason, hopefully. But at the same time, I'm interviewing you too. And I want to make sure that we have good communication skills. I really like texting. Hope it's okay if I have your personal cell phone number and text you. I really want to know if somebody at your agency is causing bad press or a potential problem with actors and how you're dealing with that person. Maybe it's just one person on your team that went through a divorce and they're having a hard time and you're covering for that person right now. Maybe I just stick with you. Okay, I can understand that. But I need you to be honest with me if we're going to work together. And I think that's going to make me a stronger booker, which is going to make that agent a lot more money if we can communicate honestly.
So let's talk about making the money, Miss Amber. I know you have had quite a few really successful ventures in the past couple of years. I'd love for you to take this opportunity to share some of these with the folks listening, about like how you got them, what we should be on the lookout for, how we can stay in touch with you and what you've got coming up.
Okay, so the question was what's next for me? And
that's totally fine. Or if you want to talk about something exciting that you booked previously that you still feel is paying off for you, it's totally up to you. This is your promo time, basically.
Great, yeah. Well, probably most recently, my most recent TV work was on HBO's Silicon Valley, which I will never recover from because it's my favorite show. It's my all-time favorite show. Mike Judge is my comedy hero. So it was a pretty great day. And I had a wonderful day on set. All of the guys are amazingly kind and so welcoming on that show. And I'm sure not every show is like that. So I was extremely fortunate. And it was also cool working for HBO because they let me improv a ton, so much improv. And I don't think that's the norm on a regular network show. They usually just kind of keep going. So they really let me play, which is kind of how they get good shows, is they let the actors kind of do their own thing. I was really caught off guard by that. I was like, they're going to just let me make up my own lines? Okay. Yeah, great. So that was a really great experience. And then I just finished the Cricket Feet Showcase, which was a wonderful opportunity to showcase comedy and just kind of get myself out there again in front of the industry after having trained at Leslie Kahn for a year, which was a wonderful experience out here. And it's been a great result as of the showcase because I've had meetings, which have been going really well. I got a general meeting with a newer casting director who I think we really, really click and really vibe with. I have another meeting with a production company that does all comedy, which I'm stoked on. And then I had a meeting yesterday with an agent that I think went pretty well. So I'm trying not to jump in too soon, but it went really well. And so I'm very thankful for the opportunity. And it was also a really well-run showcase, as well as my day job is over at Edit Monster, where I do cut demo reels, and I've got a bunch of new referrals this week. So, yeah, thankful for all that.
Tell everybody how they can keep up with you, both for your acting career and if they need demo reel editing. And you do that for people who are not LA local as well, right?
Correct. Yes. So yeah, if you want to follow up with me, please follow me on Twitter. My handle is @AmberPlaster. It's the same on Periscope as well, but you can probably find me the easiest and most often on Twitter. Same for Blab, everything, Snapchat @AmberPlaster. I'm on all of the things, cause I love social media. Also my demo reel editing, specialty is, editmonster.net. And the Twitter handle for that is @myeditmonster. And we do specialize in actor demo reels. I also do director reels. We also do individual standalone clips. And we can also capture your episode for you. So if you're on Netflix, Amazon, any of those TV shows that air, I think with the one exception of being two soap operas that I can't find anywhere. But I can do General Hospital. Yeah. Young and the Restless, I can't do. It's like the only show I can't do.
So, all right, yeah. I need to ask, how do you stay balanced in all of this? Because a common theme for creatives is, you know, you're running a business and you're also a creative, but you gotta make the monies. Like, how do you keep the work-life creative balance so that you enjoy this journey?
That is a problem that a lot of actors run into after they've been out here for more than a year. They get burnt out, especially the women. They come out here with like 100 lists of things they need to do. And I'm always like, girl, just make some friends. Get your apartment where you need to be. Calm down. You're not going anywhere. I like to do things personally in waves. So it's almost like the book Essentialism, which I'm reading right now, where I try to focus on two things at a time, which essentialism would beg you to do just one thing at a time, but that's too extreme for me. If you haven't read the book on essentialism, I think you can just Amazon essentialism and it'll pop up. It's a great read. So I will do things in waves. So for me, I'll be like, oh, I need to train. So this summer is all training. And that's the only thing I'm doing for my acting career. I'm not going to self-submit. I'm not going to do networking parties. I'm not going to do workshops. Can't afford to do it. Just going to train. And that makes me not a crazy person when I do that. And then I'll have a few weeks off and I'll be like, you know what? It's time for me to push up my social media. I'm going to do a Periscope show. I'm going to do a lot of self-promotion. I'll be on the red carpets. I'll book these parties, da, da, da. I'll focus on getting out there and meeting more people. And then, you know what? Okay. I really need to get some acting work. I'm going to start submitting. I'm going to start doing workshops. I'm going to start doing meet and greets, things like that. I'll do bits and waves for my career. And then in between those bits, I'll schedule me time, getting my nails done or learning to rock climb.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what is your me time? And it's all stuff that actually could feed into your brand as an actor, it sounds like. I mean,
yeah, it's usually pretty easy. Fortunately, in LA, there's a lot to do. And I really enjoy going to UCB, those $5 improv comedy nights. I do those for fun. Like, they're also educational, but I love going. So even when I'm not doing anything to be anybody, I'll just go and with friends or whatever.
So Amber, we're going to do a little bit of brand prov, and then I'm going to open things up to Q&A. If anybody who's here with us on the live show has a question to ask, you can pop in the hot seat and join us here for a live Q&A if you've got a little time to stick with us. Okay, yeah, so first good. A little bit of brand prov, and this is a question that I had never heard until your red carpet moment for the Cricket Feet Showcase, in which Blair Hickey, our MC, asked, if you were a cocktail, what would you be? And I was like, that is a great brand prom question. Well done, Blair. What was your response? Because I remember it being awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was like, oh, I love this. Let's make me a cocktail. I would love for you to be able to order an Amber Plaster,
right?
At the bar. That would be so sexual.
Oh my God, it's on special. Yes. At happy hour. Like, I would like an Amber Plaster.
Yes. Yes, I would do it. I would do it. Yeah, so it would definitely be a whiskey-based drink. Probably whiskey ginger with a lime.
Very nice.
Or something, if a bartender out there can make it a more fancy version. I would prefer a more fancy version, but I will also just take the
All right. Okay, good. What is your theme music as you walk through life?
Have you heard of the song Short Skirt, Long Jacket?
Yes.
It goes dun. It's also, if you're familiar with the show mm-hmm. Chuck, it's the opening theme music on Chuck. I like that one. It's weird and fierce and like, it totally doesn't take itself seriously, but it's like terrifying at the same time.
Oh, and I love that phrase for you. That's really good. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I was like, ooh, this song is weird.
If you're not in the entertainment industry, what is it that you do? This is, you know, totally inside the actor studio type question.
Anything creative. I think that I could live a completely different life as a artist or a photographer. I'm really good at getting people to pose and looking for the light and making sure the background's okay. And lighting is everything. need to remind you all, please light your selfies with natural light like I'm doing right now. I just love making a pretty picture. So even if it's not of me, if it's my family members, I'm like, no, guys, do this, write this, like layer this. Like, I love just putting things together. So.
And you're on the red carpet, hitting Cannes, Sundance, Oscars, Golden Globes, Emmys, whichever is your first of those. Who's on your arm?
Who's on my arm? No one.
You go stag.
I go solo. And hopefully it's South by Southwest, because that's where I want to premiere my first.
Okay, guys, listen to that. Amber just not only said that she knows how she's going to go, she knows where she wants to go for that first big red carpet experience. That's Ninja. That's doing that homework. And what is your on-brand network? I know we talked about the show and how great it was to get to work with this team that you've long said, yes, that's my comedy idol. I'm going to so be a part of this. Yay. What is your on-brand network? If I'm supposed to think of where you are, the series regular, what's your home? And especially in the changing landscape of streaming and, oh my gosh, how much is shifting?
I want to say there's a few that come to mind at first. I feel like sci-fi, the sci-fi channel would be great. I feel like HBO would be great and really appropriate. I would be fine getting down and dirty and weird on HBO. That'd be great. But because there's less shows on HBO, I feel like I want to say sci-fi or maybe Comedy Central or IFC or very something cool. Weird.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Anybody here in the live show want to hop in and ask a question? Please do so at this time. Otherwise, we will wrap this baby up. Give a little moment. All right. I don't see anybody jumping in. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. Nope.
No questions? Yes,
I do. There's a little, bit, of a lag.
Bit of a lag. Here we go. Let's invite Sonia in.
Yay!
Let's see how we are with this. Sonia, hello.
Hi. I'm in the car getting on the way to work, but I couldn't resist jumping on to say hi.
Hi, baby. I can't believe it's daytime where you are, all the way in Australia.
In the morning, I've literally pulled over on the side of the road just so I could jump on and say hi to you guys. awesome. I just love, love, love hearing this. Like, being a million miles away, it's so inspirational. Every time I hear Bonnie or I hear and you, Amber, like, it's incredible, and putting this show together. And being so far away, and I'm sure there's probably a lot of people watching or who will watch that aren't in LA, what would you say would be the biggest piece of advice for someone who's going to come and land in LA? What would you sort of suggest would be one of the first things that they should do? Because you've done it. And I'm at a gas station, by the way.
There's a few things that I would do. I would really make sure that your home base is where you want it to be. So find a good apartment that you can afford, find a day job that can help you with rent for a bit, get situated. And then before anything else, I don't care how much training you've had, get into a really good, well-respected, hopefully name, because it's going to help you. Sorry, it just is. So if you're going to pay like $200 for a non-name or $300 for a name, just pay for the name.
Yeah.
There's a reason it's a name acting class out here, and make a community out of your acting class for the first year.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Just stay with them and grow with them. And then on the weekends, shoot little vines and short films with them. That's going to be your basis for living in LA. Because if you go out here and try to be an island and do it all by yourself, you're going to be so frustrated. Mm. And if you're not in acting class, you kind of don't know who to approach because you're not going to be on the same level as them, if that sounds right.
Yeah.
If you're in acting class, then you're going through the same growth almost the same growing pains. Even if they've booked a little bit more than you or less than you, you're all kind of in the same path together.
That's some great advice. Because I hear, like, there's a lot of Australians who do move out there who have been on TV shows out here. And it's good that you've mentioned that, because a lot of them say, because I've asked them this question, they're like, oh no, I don't want to make friends out here. I'm here just for acting. I don't need any friends. And I'm like, how can you not have friends? You're human. Like, you need friends out there. So it's good.
You do. Mm. You need, and they're going to be the people who refer you for your first little non-union acting jobs, or refer you to their agent to be hip-pocketed because they know that you're Australian or whatever. And if you have like a weird work visa, they're going to try to find ways to get you in. Those are going to be your people.
That's true. That's true. Thank you so much for jumping on and doing the work this morning.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
All right, I'm going to jump off. I'm going to figure out how to do this on the phone.
I'll jump you up, babe. Thank you. Jonathan has asked a follow-up question on this that I really like, which was, what was the incident or event that led you to go back to LA?
Actually, I always knew that I wanted to go back to LA, but the incident that led me back to LA is I entered a contest on YouTube to be a YouTuber for a channel called I Wear Your Shirt. I can work from anywhere in the world because I worked from home, and the internet voted, and I actually got to be on the channel and produce live videos that I directed, edited, which is where I cut my teeth editing, and promoted on social media every single day, 7 days a week. So because I was doing that, I already had a job. So that allowed us to move back out to LA because I had 75% of the income we needed to live in LA. So it was something.
Fantastic. And what has that laid the groundwork for? Because when I think of people creating their own content and coming up with new ways to kind of stay ahead of the trends, you're one of the first people that I think of, Amber, which is why I really wanted to have you on the show. Do you want to talk at all about the programming that you're creating or dreaming up for the next level, using platforms like Periscope and Blab and now Busker, and anything on that you'd like to speak about? I mean, I know it's constantly changing, so it feels weird to go, here's the plan. And then you're like, and 2 hours from now, the plan is different. But
it, just like the acting landscape, the social media landscape is changing. But I do want to leave you guys with this thought, because I can't explain everything I'm trying to do with my social media career into my acting career, because we would just be here for 5 hours. But I'm trying to merge the two worlds in the next 5 years. I'm trying to push my social media following into equaling a little fun show that I can do where I can act in, whether it be on Hulu or YouTube or whatever. That'd be great. I'm starting to see people do this successfully. And it's taking years of work. It's not overnight. It's not just buying 500,000 followers, because they're not real eyeballs and people can tell. And it's fine if you need to pad it to build or whatever, but they're not real. So at some point you're going to have to get real eyeballs. So something that you can do as a creator or as an actor is you can start putting together really short, little teeny tiny bits of content out on your social media profiles. So you had a co-star. Okay, well, you get to talk about it for a year now because you're going to keep posting pictures from you on set. That's content. You get to re-vine or re-put on Instagram if you're a hot girl. Okay, know your apps. Know which app you fit on. Okay. And be like, oh, hashtag flashback Friday to that time I was on Criminal Minds. That's your content for the day. Reminding people that you act. There it is. Just keep recycling that content. You were in a play? Great. Repost pictures of you being a working actor in that play. Being like, remember me? I'm a working actor. Not right now, but I do work. And here's a reminder that I work, because I guarantee you, your friends are not going to be annoyed. And if they are, they aren't the friends for you. They aren't the friends and family for you if they're annoyed at you promoting acting work. And secondly, with the way the Facebook and Twitter algorithm is now, 80% of your audience is going to miss that message the first time around. Guaranteed. So keep recycling your little content how you can. Be really mindful of how you say it. So I like to remind people that I was on Silicon Valley. So I'll do a little hashtag Silicon Valley. So if people are searching for Silicon Valley, they can find me. So try to make it a simple way to tell people without being using 1400 hashtags. I was in Romeo and Juliet in Sydney, Australia. It was beautiful and magic. You're welcome. Here's a picture of it.
Sir, you are phenomenal. I could spend forever in this space having this conversation with you because your brain is awesome. And I really appreciate you sharing everything that you have in this little slice of time. We will do more later, I am sure, because there's just so much to yes and to all of this. Thank you.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.